2021 to 2027 in the coronavirus stimulus package after a marathon four-day summit in July. The ambassadors had voted through the clause that made access to EU funds conditional on adherence to the rule of law because it only required a qualified majority, the German EU presidency said. But the budget and the rescue package needed unanimous support and were then blocked by Poland and Hungary. So we shall see what happens there. But it seems like it could be a little bit of trouble in the EU, or at least a little bit of political wrangling to work that out between those parties. There's a lot more detail at the BBC, including a nice breakdown of what the whole aid package looks like. The important part to know is that this package includes, well, it's a big relief package. It's
so many men would have loved you more. Soon everybody will ask what became of you. Your heart was dying fast and you didn't know what.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh boy, it is 1907 UTC. Maybe it's because I'm getting older, or I'm just slower. But it takes a whole 6 minutes for me to stand up at my desk and get to the roof of the garage now. It used to take me, 4 minutes or so. It's a 50% increase. I don't like that. the wind is blowing head-on directly at me from the, which direction are we going? From the northeast, I guess. Or I guess it comes from the west. Either way, it's cold wind. It is 18 degrees C. Excuse me while I cough real quick. Okay, there we go. But you are listening to News to Me. It's a show that airs every day at 1900 UTC, Monday through Friday. The Dubious Goals Committee. If you want every day, you want to tune into the Dubious Goals Committee. That happens at 1930 UTC every goddamn day. And you can always go to anonradio.net or just press equal in com, the equal sign in com, and you'll see, boom, all the schedule, what's going on there. All you gotta do is SSH over to sdf.org. You can use new, that's N-E-W, at sdf.org if you want to SSH over and start a new account. It's totally fine to do that way. And then you can sign up. Boom. Easy, breezy, beautiful. CoverGirl. All right. So yeah, I'm back here on the roof with my slightly loose that wiggly red drain pipe. I think I'm tempted to put in a ticket, a facilities request, to let them know that there's an issue, but I don't want to tell them why I know there's an issue. But anyway, shout out to Calm, shout out to Tobe and Cinesphere and X1. Thank you for being here, hanging out. There's news, though. There's a lot of news, and we got to get to it. Enough chatting, goofing off. Let's go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always start, and that, my friends, is with
world news.
That's right, world news. There's a little good and a little bad in the world, as there always is. We'll start with the bad. If you want to follow along, or if you'd like to check out the news later, whenever you're not busy or whatever, you can go to txo.org/1h0. These are all lowercase. txo.org/1hotel0. That's right. I don't know why we have zeros in the short links, but we do. So txo.org/1h0. It looks like one ho. And that will get you to the one tab link that has all the stories, because we might not get to all of them today. We're going to go ahead and start here. First, in the English Channel, several people have been confirmed dead after a small boat sunk. At least four people died when a small boat packed with migrants capsized in freezing temperatures in the channel overnight. Dozens of others were plucked from the water of one of the world's busiest shipping lanes in a large-scale rescue operation involving UK and French emergency services. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak called it a tragic loss of human life, just as he tries to tighten rules to prevent record numbers of migrants from attempting the crossing. British media said earlier that 43 people were rescued, including more than 30 who had fallen overboard, with fears the death toll will rise. Migrants have been intercepted regularly in the channel in recent years using small boats ill-suited for trips on the open sea. At least 27 people drowned while attempting to cross the channel in a dinghy on November 24th last year. The International Organization for Migration estimates 205 migrants have been recorded as missing in the channel since 2014. I was watching some shipping videos recently on YouTube, and the English Channel shipping lanes are pretty neat because it's kind of, even though there aren't any physical lines or markings, they've kind of divided it up so that there's a going in and going out side of the channel, basically. So everybody going one way is on one side of the channel, and everybody going the other way is on another side of the channel. And sometimes, the story that I saw all the video about, sorry, there's a little echo there, the video about was pretty neat. They basically, anonymous good info. but essentially what happened was, because the way it's set up, if somebody crosses the, somebody needs to make a turn, they're expected to turn perpendicular to traffic. And if you don't turn perpendicular to traffic, it will look like you are going the wrong way on a one-way street. And so it was just very interesting. So I'm sure it causes a lot of havoc with the commercial operations of people as they drive around those little dinghies and stuff. Now, we've got two stories from China. First, the arrested Chinese property tycoon Zhang Li has a novel way to avoid a London jail: lock himself in his own luxury tower block. While Zhang, the co-founder of Guangzhou R&F Properties, prepares to fight his extradition to the U.S. on bribery charges, his lawyers were working hard on getting him out of a London prison and on bail this week. Not only did they offer the joint highest security that Britain's courts have ever accepted of £15 million, or 15 million pounds. But the lawyer said that as a condition, he would be confined to a 5-bedroom penthouse apartment on the 43rd floor of an RF-owned tower by the River Thames. Thames, I guess? T-H-A-M-E-S. Guarded by ex-military personnel on 12-hour shifts, one operative told a judge that he planned to replicate the security measures of a prison on the property developer. That kind of protection doesn't come cheap, at $200,000 a month, and all paid for Zhang by himself. The highly unusual measures highlight the extent to which the wealthiest people can construct their own options within a faltering British justice system that wouldn't be available to anyone else. The number of prisoners waiting for their trial in England and Wales has soared to a 14-year high. A luxury apartment is clearly going to be much nicer than a prison, Tom Smith, a professor in law at the University of West England, said. That certainly suggests a two-tiered system that says if you have the means, you can buy your freedom.
The bail conditions were disclosed at a court hearing where lawyers acting for the U.S. government warned that Zhang was a potential flight risk, saying that the tycoon had the resources and ability to flee. Anyone else considered to be as risky would simply be remanded in custody. Zhang is to be confined at one of RNF's high-rise blocks in London's Nine Elms district, one of dozens of high-priced apartment projects packed into the narrow strip of land along the river where sales have stagnated during the pandemic. Zhang's lawyers have declined to comment. So, that's pretty neat. X1 pointing out that, the channel better have some rules to avoid collisions, which is very true. I just thought that was kind of neat. It's like, I didn't realize that was an option in UK court. In the US, you just kind of pay the judge and don't go to jail or go to court or anything. You just kind of disappear. Or they talk to the judge really nicely and like buy him a golf course or something, and then they don't have to go to jail. They go and stay on house arrest. So anyway, I thought that was taking place in China, but I was wrong. That was in the UK. In China, they're saying the spread of COVID is impossible to track as infections are soaring. The spread of COVID-19 in China is now impossible to track, the country's health authorities have said, announcing they've stopped recording asymptomatic cases in their tallies. The admission comes amid soaring presentations to hospitals and clinics as COVID-19 spreads rapidly through the population in the wake of the sudden removal of strict pandemic measures. Authorities have urged people not to seek emergency health care unless necessary and announced the rollout of second boosters to elderly and vulnerable people. China's government abruptly ended the long-running and strict zero-COVID policy last week, rolling back measures including travel restrictions and lockdowns. Health authorities also ended the mass testing drives and compulsory regular testing, which were pillars of the policy. As a result, official daily reports have been an increasingly inaccurate measure of the outbreak. On Tuesday, the National Health Commission announced it would no longer report asymptomatic cases. Many patients no longer participate in testing, the NHC said. It's impossible to accurately grasp the actual number of asymptomatic infections. The commission officially reported just 2,291 symptomatic cases across China on Tuesday, at odds with reports from residents and health services of rampant infections, particularly in Beijing. So, it's going to be tough. So, this is pretty scary stuff, really, when you think about it. Everybody, I think, has kind of been happy to blow off. We're walking a little bit to try and warm up. A lot of wind. Sorry about that. I'm trying to find there isn't a place in the sun that's also not in the wind. Sorry about that. I'll go back to my shaded spot and just be cool for a little while. Alright. So that's a little bit of what's going on out that way. Let's talk about something else here. There's a lot of news. There's a youngster that's found this spot. He's up here having a smoke, which you're not supposed to do, I guess. But I thought he left when he saw that I came up here. But no, he just went and got a coat. Alright. Well, what else is happening? Well, a lot's going on, my friend. We've got a lot of nuclear news. Three nuclear stories to get to. But first. Let's go through a few more here. There was a shootout in Australia about 16:30 local time on Monday. Four junior police officers went for a routine visit to a rural property in a remote Australian area called Wimbilla. Within hours, six people would be dead. Two officers were shot and killed, as was a concerned neighbor, before a long siege ended, with specialist police fatally shooting three suspects. As Australians grapple with shock and grief, they are asked how and why such an incident occurred. The officers traveled to the property about 168 miles west of Brisbane, Queensland, to check on a man who'd been reported missing. For us, this was a standard job. We go to thousands of these every week, Queensland Police Commissioner Katrina Carroll has said. The four officers, from two different local stations, met up on a dirt road outside the property before heading up its long driveway. After leaving their cars and approaching the house, they were inundated with gunfire. Two constables were hit immediately. A third officer ran to find cover. The fourth also the 4th, was able to retreat into his car, suffering a wound to his leg on the way. Authorities have confirmed only few details of what happened next, but Queensland Police Union President Ian Leavers has painted a more detailed picture to local media. And he goes on to explain that he killed two of the policemen execution style, then tried to freak out the new judge or new resident, whatever. And then a resident, a neighbor, showed up, and then he got shot. So yeah, it's kind of one of those things. Don't be a concerned neighbor. That's probably always a good idea. If you're a concerned neighbor, you're gonna have trouble. Mind your business might be another way to put it. Oh, it turns out that person I saw wasn't the same person from before. Who knew? I'm gonna have to find a new spot because this spot is way too hot these days. Alright. Oh, what else is happening? A lot's going on. Let me just take a moment here and pretend to be talking. Hey, Vasopressin has left. Okay. And Tobe has come back. Welcome back, Tobe. Welcome, welcome. Yeah, so, this spot's too hot. I'm going to have to find a new spot. That's kind of a bummer. It's nicer weather. As long as it doesn't rain on me, I guess I could go to the pond. We'll go to the pond next week. Or tomorrow. X1 chose not to live in the remote Australian land. Good job. I think that's probably a good idea. It just seems strange to, I don't know. It's always a surprise. I don't know. It's one of those weird things. Like, the police exist as a way for the state to exert force against the populace and keep us kind of in control. But, to keep up the front that they're there to take care of people, they send them off on these bizarre missions to just make sure that somebody isn't dead. It's like, you know, if you're worried about if somebody is alive or not, just go call them or go to their house. Anyway, that's just my feelings about it. We've got about 9 minutes to go before the end of the show. It looks like a solid waste truck just cruising on by. Let's do some tech news. What? Yeah, we only got enough time for some of the news, so let's see, do I have the sound?
Time for
there it is. Oh yeah, buddy. Alright, let's go through it. Twitter files spark debate about blacklisting. What makes one social media post pop up all over people's feeds and another disappear into obscurity? It's a question anyone trying to make a splash online would love the answer to. We know that tweets don't just appear in chronological order. It's being engineered in some way. And platforms tend to keep the full details of their algorithm, or the process or the mechanism which determines which posts you see and in what order. Under an initiative by Twitter's new chief Elon Musk, fragments of internal Twitter discussions about content moderation, dubbed the Twitter files, has been shared on the platform. The ongoing revelations contain internal chats of Twitter's inner circle of senior executives about a series of controversial decisions, limiting the dissemination of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the permanent suspension of Donald Trump, and also just various other things. Really, this is big news and terrible, horrible news, but it only really matters to people who use Twitter, which is not people who listen to a non-radio, I wouldn't imagine. I just thought it was funny because journalists are people too. They are trapped in this weird social media bubble, but they love Twitter. And so to all the news sites, Twitter is such a huge major story, but really it doesn't matter. Like, kind of like what who is it? My friend John says this. He says, if you don't live in social media and you're just like a visitor or you're just kind of passing through, casually observing it, it's very funny because it's like another country. What happens over there really doesn't matter to anybody who's not in that country. Keeping on with the social media, U.S. lawmakers have proposed a ban on TikTok, the social media app known for its short viral videos, citing concerns about national security. The bipartisan bill is the latest move in the U.S. against the company, which is owned by Chinese tech giant ByteDance. Last month, the head of the FBI voiced concern that China would use the app to influence users or control their electronics. Several U.S. states have banned it from government devices, but the bill faces long odds. TikTok has more than 100 million users in the U.S., has called the measure a politically motivated ban that will do nothing to advance the national security of the U.S. The company added it was developing plans that are well underway in implementing to further secure the platform in the U.S. as part of the national security review that began under former President Donald Trump. We'll continue to brief members of Congress on the plans, it said. So far, much of the concern about TikTok in China is based on the potential for abuse and not evidence of it. From a privacy standpoint, simply preventing a company like TikTok from operating doesn't close the gaps, she said, noting that many other websites collect similar information. So it's basically kind of the deal there with social media. Also religion. Good point, Tobe. Very good point. Yeah, good point, X1. Thanks. For the raise. Oh, sorry. Oh, let's talk about nuclear stuff, because that is infinitely more interesting than whether or not TikTok or the next mobile giant is going to come. Oh, it's a fourth person. Yeah, this is much too hot. I don't know what happened. But it's like a bunch of people up here. All right. So let's talk about uranium. If this will load here. Here it is. Uranium plutonium nitride fuel for BN-1200 fast reactor. Experimental fuel assemblies for the BN-600 reactor incorporating BN-1200, it's Bravo November, BN-600 reactor incorporating BN-1200 fuel rods have been manufactured in the Siberian Chemical Combine in Seversk, with the intention they will be loaded into the BN-600 fast neutron reactor at Beloyarsk, Russia in 2023. Rosatom has said. The BN-1200 is a fast sodium reactor. The plan is to build the first power unit at the Beloyarsk nuclear power plant, where the BN-600 and BN-800 units are already operating. Fast neutron reactors are capable of operating on plutonium and are able to help close the fuel cycle, Rosatom said, which makes a uranium-plutonium mixture. The optimal fuel. The fuel elements contain mixed dense nitride uranium plutonium fuel, or MNUP. Mike November, Uncle, or Uniform Papa. The BN-800 reactor was switched to oxide MOX, mixed oxide fuel, in 2022. Another type of uranium-plutonium fuel for fast reactors is nitride SNUP fuel, which will be used in the first innovative lead-cooled reactor, BREST-OD-300. That's Brestod 300. Bravo, Romeo, Echo, Sierra, Tango, Oscar, Delta, 300. A lot of acronyms. Experimental fuel assemblies with the NUP fuel manufactured by the Siberian Chemical Combine in Svirsk has been tested in the BN-600 since 2014, with ever higher burn-up of nuclear fuel gradually achieved. That'd be one way to do it, if your nuclear fuel is just completely spent at the end of it and you don't have any waste. That'd be pretty cool. The sodium-cooled BN-series fast reactors are part of Rosatom's project to develop fast reactors with a closed fuel cycle, whose MOX fuel will be reprocessed and recycled. In addition to the BN-600 reactor, the 789 megawatt electric, our pal Publius pointed out that a lot of times they have MWE and MWT, and MWE is megawatts of electricity, whereas MWT is megawatts of thermal energy. So anyway, 789 megawatts electric BN-800 fast neutron reactor entered commercial operation in 2016. So this is just a larger one at the BN-16. Oh man, it took longer than I thought. We're already about 2 minutes to go before the Do These Goals Committee with Tobe. I'm going to run through these other two because I, well, first, this will be short. Vermont Yankee Reactor Core has been dismantled. Orano has completed the segmentation and packaging of the reactor vessel and internal components of the Vermont Yankee Reactor in Vermont. The operation, lasting less than 4 years, marks the company's first segmentation and disposal of a U.S. boiling water reactor. So it's kind of just a funeral. The body has been embalmed, kind of. And the other piece for nuclear news is just kind of what we talked about yesterday. The first ever controlled fusion experiment to produce more energy from fusion than laser energy used to drive it was concluded. And this is a big breakthrough, but I wanted to share it because World Nuclear News, I feel like, is a better site than just energy.gov as far as like what the Department of Energy did. Well, I'm sorry I ran out of time, but please stick around and enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. It's a fun show. And all that.
7.